Hi, my name is Bruce McDonald, and you're listening to After the Credits on Road3.com. Best row in the house.
Welcome to the November preview of After the Credits. I am co-host Vern Antunes, and joining me today,
Colleen, no fixed address.
Dale from Digital Doodles, and God, what is it? Letterboxd. Dale 42.
It's like after six podcasts without you guys, you're back.
Hooray.
Yeah.
And we did six dispatches.
I saw that, yeah.
We were very prolific.
Excellent.
Except for the last, like, second week was a little slower.
Yeah, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
It totally is. It totally is. But we are in Studio 42. I am blinded by the bright light.
Oh,
it does not feel like
this
November.
Weather is kind of incredible.
It's amazing. I feel like I should be wearing my sunglasses instead of regular glasses because I'm being blinded by the light. But it's all good. November preview. Some movies.
I can't. We're on fire, aren't we? We have not missed a preview. Woo!
Yes. Have we done the entire year without missing one?
Oh, have we?
An entire year?
I'll have to look.
That might be crazy talk.
Yeah.
I'm going to look. Because that should be, if it's not this year,
win a prize?
That should be the goal for next year.
This will be the year that we can do it, though, because we did not miss.
We can.
Oh, yeah. October is usually. Yeah, October is usually the crazy one, and we got October in this year, so.
I missed one this year, but you guys went ahead.
I think we podcasted without you.
We did that without you.
You braved on.
And you were missed.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm sure.
Always missed.
Thank God she's gone.
Oh, please. Hardly. Though we had, the show wasn't any shorter because you weren't here.
No, that's true, but it was after the credits with
I hope one of you took the job of the Russian judge.
40% less snark, yeah.
Yeah, 40 at least.
You got so much done without me.
Not really.
No.
We just, meandered about other stuff. That's all.
Excellent.
But we'll jump right in because there is surprisingly a little bit to talk about.
I was surprised it's another short month, but actually there's some really heavy hitters in here. I guess American Thanksgiving.
Oscar bait season.
Yeah, but the thing is there isn't a whole lot of Oscar stuff still on the calendar.
I took it to be Thanksgiving blockbusters.
Yeah.
Or American Thanksgiving blockbusters.
When is American Thanksgiving?
Crap.
Is that like the middle of November? Like around Thor time? Thor just seems to be opening on like this weird middle of November schedule, and it's like, what the fuck?
I think that's why.
Not that it matters. I will take Thor any time of the year, but it just seems like a summer blockbuster movie.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know,
they're trying to cover the whole year now instead of just competing.
November 28th.
Oh, okay. Oh, so it would have been out like a week or something by the time.
But that makes because people are. Like, usually what happens Family is stuff gets taken off and, yeah.
Yeah. But let's jump in with one of the movies that had a lot of buzz early in the year around Comic-Con time and there's still quite a bit of discussion about it, but nobody seems to be really...
The hurt doesn't seem to be as out there now.
Yeah, and talking about Ender's Game, is it safe to still call it highly anticipated?
Oh, God, what... Highly contested. It went from highly anticipated to highly contested to I don't know.
I don't know where we're at with this now, to be quite honest. I mean, everybody seemed really excited when it was announced, and around Comic-Con, there seemed to be still quite a bit of excitement, and it's
a combination. Yeah. So, Ender's Game is a science fiction story by Orson Scott Card,
mm-hmm.
who is a very well-known and well-published American science fiction author who later in his career started publicly speaking out in homophobic kind of bullshit, a little bit of anti-Semitic bullshit, and started, to the extent where he was really turning the fans off. Mm-hmm. So people, and I'm one of them, really enjoyed the novels. Ender's Game was for a lot of people a really significant novel. if you fall into a certain demographic. And even outside of that demographic in general, it had a bunch of stuff in there that was relatively unique and original for the time and really caught people's imaginations. I know I've met a lot of different people from different backgrounds, like men and women and different age groups, that really like identified with this character. And then Orson Scott Card turns out to be this like not really great guy.
He's
and
kind of a dick.
People were...
I think it's safe to say that.
He's a dick.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he's a dick. And so now you're conflicted. It's like, he tells really good stories, but my God, I don't know if I want to like support this dick.
Mm-hmm.
And it's too late because I've already fallen in love with the story, right?
Yeah.
So when the movie came out, it actually got a significant amount of backlash because of Orson Scott Card. And the studio went into like major damage control, mm-hmm. basically. To address it. I think they actually did it quite effectively.
I agree as well.
They did not hide. They came right out.
Mm-hmm.
And now most of the people I know that really loved the story are conflicted. Do I go and see the movie or don't I? I don't know.
Yeah, I think part of the trouble is that I just don't know if this is a really great adaptation of the material or not. I did read the book a fair bit later. I read it like last year or the year before. I don't have the love affair that a lot of people do with it, but I can appreciate that it's really well written and the story is really interesting. And I don't really want to get into too many details on what it's about because I think the twist really did it for me.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done a fairly good job in the marketing of keeping that sort of hidden and not revealing what that basic twist is, and I think it's pretty clear that they're not putting that into any of the material, so keeping that for the movie, which is good. But it's essentially the story of a young kid who is destined to be the next great commander in a war against these extraterrestrial beings that happen to be like bugs.
Yeah, that are out to destroy mankind.
Yeah, pretty much. So humanity on its last stand. Does it look good?
The trailer looks okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I wasn't sold by the trailer. I haven't read it. And quite honestly, the homophobic thing, it just rolled off my back, whatever. Like, an author is an author. They can be a complete asshole as long as their story's good. Like, what am I judging? I don't know. I don't know. I'm just not thrilled about it. Like, if it came on Netflix, you know I'd be watching it.
Yeah. 'Cause
I like this genre, but I don't know. I'm not excited to go out to the theater for it.
No. And I think that's actually kind of pretty on par with what I'm seeing from the general crowds. I don't know if they're going to get the turnout that they want and that they need in order to make this successful. Because it looks like
it looks expensive.
A pretty expensive, pretty picture. So
it's got a lot of big names in it, too.
That as well. You know, Harrison Ford and what's his name? I forgot the other guy. The Sir Ben Kingsley, among others, obviously. But yeah, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see how that fares. I'm not holding my breath. Also opening on the 1st, About Time. Rachel McAdams in another time travel love story.
Stereotyped much?
No shit, hey? It's like, okay, you've already done one of these? One or two? One.
You know, I just thought, wow, this is like someone got inspired by the time, literally by the time traveler's wife and wanted to watch, you know, a happy, happy joy or write a happy, happy joy, joy version of it.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but having said that, I'm actually kind of taken in by it.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly very British, which is a little unlike the original, or I say the original, though it's not a remake. But Rachel McAdams plays the object of desire for a young man that learns that he can time travel. Mm-hmm. So he, you know, constantly time travels, trying to make it the perfect relationship. And things happen.
And a little bit of Groundhog Day thrown in, too.
There you go. Nice. No. So, I don't know. It looks sweet. I'll see it at some point.
You know, yeah.
I can't say no to Rachel McAdams. I really like her.
I didn't see the trailer. IMDb, for whatever reason this morning, there was nothing in November 1st opening, so I missed this one. And from the read-up, not really all that interested, although now that you've brought in Groundhog Day, now suddenly
mildly.
Peaked a little, because that show Groundhog ruled. Day. Yeah.
Mildly Groundhog Day. Also opening on the 1st, The Old Men Go At It in Las Vegas. It's the who's who, the creme de la creme of the over 60 director actors. They one of them is getting married. I think it's Michael Douglas.
Douglas in life, or art imitating life. Yeah,
pretty much. So he calls up his buddies, breaks one of them out of the retirement home, and they go to Las Vegas for one last hurrah. And the trailer surprisingly looks really funny. Yeah. I don't know. I think it looks cute.
I can't help
myself.
I love watching Kevin Kline. Yes. I don't think I'll see it in the theater, but
he seems like the odd man out here for some reason. Yeah, I know he is.
He is.
Is he really, though? Because he's of that age.
Well, no. The other guys are literally the high of the high.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Kevin Kline never quite got that level. He's very much one big step down from the other three people's cachet.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. Well, that's why he feels like the odd man out.
He always did character roles, right?
Yeah.
He didn't do the big A-list blockbuster roles. And not like the other characters.
Yeah.
And they've moved back and forth in and out of character roles and blockbuster roles, but still.
Yeah, that's why he seems like the odd man out.
Yeah.
But it looks
But I think his
funny.
Character also feels like the odd man out. It looks like it might be really good casting.
That said, he has more cachet for me specifically than the other three guys I've gone.
I don't know, man. I'm all about Morgan Freeman.
He is pretty cool.
He's
pretty
badass.
Better than the other two combined, then.
Okay, I can go with that.
Not a big Michael Douglas fan.
Yeah, Michael Douglas doesn't really do anything for me.
And
De Niro's kind of up and down the roller coaster.
Yeah, De Niro is all over the place. Sometimes I love his roles, and sometimes it's like, oh, yeah, kind of phoned it in there, buddy.
He had a couple of years where it was like really bad, and then he had a couple of hits in there. Not hits, but really good performances in there every 2 years. And now it's just kind of, you just never know. It's always a crapshoot.
Yeah.
It's like, is it good De Niro or bad De Niro? It's never going to be Casino De Niro.
No.
I have given myself up on that.
Actually, Heat was, I think, the one where I still,
Butterball.
Butterball.
What's his face?
Pacino.
Thank you.
Yeah, him and Pacino together is like gold.
That was crazy awesome. And then you see him in The Fockers, and it's just like
what happened? What happened?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And that's not even the worst role.
No, that's only one of many bad ones. Also opening on the 1st, the Token animation.
Oh, totally aimed it.
Yeah, actually, Free Birds.
Token animation, there's another animated.
There is another one?
Yeah, coming up more for Christmas than...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. Is that the Disney one, the Frozen?
Yeah, Frozen.
Well,
but
this
one is totally Thanksgiving oriented.
Yeah, for sure. I don't actually know what this is about.
Free Birds?
Yeah, no idea.
Oh, two turkeys travel back in time to try and change the tradition of turkeys for Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's hilarious. Okay, that actually sounds kind of funny.
You know, the trailer actually looks... kind of good. And Woody Harrelson is one of the voices.
Well, this is what I was going to say. The voice talent's really good. You have Woody Harrelson, Owen Wilson, Dan Folger, and Amy Poehler.
Amy Poehler has a line that I laughed. I don't know if I want to see this, but I have to admit the trailer made me laugh.
Awesome. We'll probably see it at some point, but
I didn't see the trailer for this one, but if it's anything like I think it was Chicken Run. That was with, what's his face?
I remember
this
Chicken Run.
Totally doesn't have a Chicken Run vibe.
Oh, really?
It's completely, I didn't get that vibe.
Okay. Then I'm not nearly as interested.
Also opening on November the 1st, one that's been sort of opening slowly over the last couple of weeks, Man of Tai Chi. Keanu Reeves directs himself. To greatness.
This kind of looks really good.
You owe me a life. Oh, I love this movie.
He looks good as the not central hero role.
He totally is. I mean,
and
it's
he
super
looks
cheesy.
Badass.
He is so cheesy,
of course,
but he's awesome.
He looks like he, you know, lost too much weight maybe, but that gaunt look kind of does good on him.
Oh, I didn't get that from him, but...
I'm confused. Are they trying to make a Tai Chi master into a killing machine?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they can.
Oh.
The idea is to break him. I don't know. You're asking questions that are high level, and this movie is in the gutter. It's awesome.
Okay. It looks good, but the whole time I was going, why are they trying to make the Tai Chi guy angry?
Tiger Chen is awesome. The fight sequences in this movie are spectacular.
Oh, yeah.
They are really good.
The trailer looks really, it's really well done.
Yeah, no, it's a fun movie. It's not greatness, but it's not I don't even know. Like, it's not high art, but it's damn entertaining.
Well, but it's an action film, but it looks like an action film with a little bit of a story to it, which is always bonus.
Well, and as you can see, you maybe not, but I gave this an 8 out of 10. I really like this movie. Go see it. It's really good. Also opening on November the 1st in Toronto, Montreal, and Vancouver, because it's Canadian. All the wrong reasons.
This is really Canadian?
Yeah.
Okay.
You thought I was kidding?
Well, it didn't strike me as a Canadian film.
No, it's Canadian. Corey Monteith's last movie, I guess. And it's about...
Oh, is he the guy that OD'd?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Actually... we may have talked about it on one of the VIF podcasts, but for anybody that missed it, Bobcat Goldthwait was actually in town to introduce the first screening of Willow Creek.
Uh-huh.
And apparently he made a joke about how he was a little worried about being in Vancouver because movie stars tend to die in our hotel rooms. And there was a whole bunch of, ooh.
Too soon.
Like, and he's like, too soon?
Yeah.
It was apparently quite the thing.
Who was the guy who, you saw him, the guy who opened his film here, and it was about the Star Whackers that were the Quaid guy.
Randy Quaid. And his wife.
The Star Whackers, they're following us.
Oh, fuck. Those two are like, I think they're still trying to get like, I don't know if they're actually still in Vancouver, but.
I don't know if they're still here, but she qualifies totally because her dad was Canadian.
It's just, that's another like weirdness altogether. So the story here is you have how many couples? I don't even know. It's an interconnected group of stories about basically a couple that's having some issues. Monteith plays like a young up-and-coming
manager
of a big retail chain store. He's having some issues with his wife whose sister died a couple of years before and she's still not over it. And, you know, they meet other people and things happen and it takes place in the winter and it's not very Canadian, but I don't know. It's okay. It's not great.
Shot in a big box.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
Yeah. I saw it at VIF.
Okay.
It was one of the ones that I did get to see. And it's okay.
It looked fun.
Yeah. Well, fun isn't really the right word for it.
Oh, okay.
But some good performances. The wife, what is her name? Karine Vanasse, I think is her name. She's French-Canadian. She's amazing.
Is she the one that has the space issue?
Yes. That's the wife.
Her character, like, totally, for me, jumped out of that trailer.
She is the best...
Some pretty wry humor in there.
She is the best. She and Kevin Zegers' relationship is really both really interesting. Separately, they're not great, but together they work really well. And Zegers' performance is okay. It's there's this thing with the accent that comes in and out like constantly, and it was really distracting. But otherwise, his performance is really good as well. They were the standouts. But it's okay. I wouldn't highly recommend it, but. It's certainly interesting, and I'm sure fans of Monteith will want to see it. Also opening November 1st, not here, I don't believe. I think this is one of those slow rollouts. Dallas Buyers Club, we have a joke that the French-Canadian directors are taking over Hollywood, and at this rate, it certainly sounds like that's a thing. This one directed by Jean-Marc Vallée, who last did the Young Victoria.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. So based on a true life story.
Boy, McConaughey lost some weight for this.
No shit, right?
Wow.
So Matthew McConaughey stars as Ron Woodruff, who was like a cowboy who in the 80s contracts AIDS or HIV, I guess. And he can't get the drugs that he needs in order to stay healthy legally. So he starts importing them from Mexico and then selling them to his friends that also require them. Also stars Jared Leto as Rayon, a transvestite who helps him in the dealings. I think he looks amazing.
Yep.
I think this looks great. I guess if you can call it that. Can you say a movie about HIV looks great? Is that really the thing? The right word?
It's the legal drug trade. It's not illegal. It's what the hell did he say? Not approved.
Not approved. Yeah,
that's right. So, I mean, it certainly looks like the performances are the thing to watch here. Lots of Oscar buzz. We'll see how that goes. Moving on to November 8th. Loki returns. That's all we need, right?
Loki?
Yeah, just Loki.
Not Thor?
No.
Thor's pretty, though.
Thor is badass, but it's all about Loki.
Yeah, maybe just have the show with Loki and then have like a little picture of Thor flexing his muscles
That's right. Thor the Dark World opens on the 8th. Hemsworth returns as Thor. Natalie Portman is back as his love interest in a much bigger role, it looks like. Hiddleston is back as Loki.
Yay.
The aforementioned great one. And Stellan Skarsgård and a bunch of other people I don't even know. It looks great. I have no idea what it's about. Don't care. It's Thor and Loki. And shit goes wrong.
Go Norse gods.
Pretty much. It's all about Mjolnir anyway, so yeah. Who cares? That's important.
A hard pronunciation. That
Mjolnir?
One. Mjolnir.
I think that's how you say it. I'm actually not 100%.
I think that's pretty close, yeah.
Yeah. I pretend I know. All I know is that it's Thor's mighty hammer. That's the important part.
I pretend to agree.
Are you guys excited at all for this? I don't even know if you guys like the first Thor movie.
I love the first Thor.
Oh, come on.
Yes.
Thorgasm, man.
I'm all.
Nice.
I'm all for Thor, yeah.
I think that's the most exciting that I've seen Colleen for a movie this month. She said Thorgasm.
Thorgasm, yeah.
Win.
He's one hell of a good looking man.
He totally is, isn't he?
That said, I'm just not anywhere near as excited for this one as I was the original.
Yeah.
And this one's sort of like, yeah, okay. I'll look at it. I'll watch it and go, he's pretty.
Yes, he's very pretty.
I like Loki.
It's
and then walk away and never think of it again.
It's funny. Like, this is one of those films where I just, if something comes along, I don't even bother checking it out because I know I'm going to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, yeah, I don't need to watch a trailer. I don't need to. I'm just... Pretty much. But what's been amazing me is all the coverage of Tom Hiddleston.
Yes.
Like, he just, I don't know if he's just this personable or he just has a good sense of what will get the fans excited. But my God, this guy has been creating buzz. I hope they're, you know, they should be paying him part of their marketing budget because my God, from all the way back to the summer with the con time, he just does shit and he makes the news and... Yeah.
I think part of it is Marvel really jumping on the bandwagon. I don't think that they expected Loki to be this, like, big of a thing.
I don't think it would have been without Hiddleston.
No,
either.
And that's the thing. And I think that they really picked up on what the fans really liked about the first Thor movie, which was Loki was fucking awesome. And they're like, well, let's play this shit up. And Hiddleston loves it.
Right down to I saw a little, like, two-paragraph news piece. They asked him, like, who should play the female version of Loki? And he goes, well, I think in the comic book he took over Sif's body, so I think it should be whoever the actress was to play it. And it's like, my God, he knew that.
Yeah.
He knew that in a question that was just popped random.
It wasn't like, oh, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Moving on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But he doesn't impress me a bit.
Yeah. And the thing is, he doesn't really play up the fact that he's a fanboy. He's just a guy that happens to be an actor that likes this stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's awesome. And here, he also takes over the podcast. Unbeknownst to him.
Dun, dun.
Also opening on the 5th. Oh, moving on to the 15th, I should say. Or is there something else on the 8th that I missed? Because I did show notes like a while back. So.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the live site. They're saying that Diana's opening this week too.
Okay, well, we can talk about Diana. So that's the retelling of Diana's last, I think it's
Princess Diana Spencer.
It's the last couple of years of her life, because I think it starts
last
just
2 years according to
And Naomi Watts stars as Diana. She certainly looks the part,
sort of. Yeah, she looks the part, but she didn't to me in the trailer, she didn't capture what I remember Diana.
Well, and I think that that's the problem with doing an adaptation so close to, or a biography so close to, I mean, because she's been dead a number of years, but she's the kind of character that a lot of people still remember very keenly, because I mean, she was such a public figure. And I think it would be hard for anybody, even the best actress in the world, to try to capture some of the energy that Diana did capture. Because I mean, she was the people's princess. Everybody loved her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're shaking your head, but
I wasn't a big fan.
I wasn't either, but
she did have some sort of, like, she had an
energy
made
the
about
news.
Her.
Yeah. And I mean, I respected, she really got out there and
did something,
used her role to, like, you know, for
better,
public good.
I'll give her that. Her charity work was outstanding.
Yeah. But so, I mean, it was clear that her relationship was just kind of really messed up and she got thrown into.
Yeah.
But that's an interesting thing for me is the movie doesn't seem to be about that part of her life. It's like after that chapter ended.
The Dodie fight at.
Yeah. Years. And, you know, I find that less interesting.
Yeah. Well, and I think that might have. They may be focused on that for a specific reason, right? Because it was much more in the public limelight.
Yeah.
And at that point, she was really everywhere because everybody was talking about it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm not particularly interested in seeing it. I mean, I'd be curious to see it only for Naomi Watts' involvement because I do like her as an actress. And I mean, it could be interesting to watch, but not jumping at the gun to see it.
Yeah, no, I'm not really interested at all.
No.
Yeah.
My mom is probably interested in really seeing it. I don't even know if she knows it's coming.
You know, bring another film about Queen Elizabeth II. I'll be right there.
Well, I was just thinking of
bring
the Queen,
back
actually.
Helen Mirren.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the interesting perspective on Diana Spencer.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And I almost think that movie, well, and the Tom Hiddleston was in that one, wasn't he? Or no, who played the Prime Minister? I'm getting
it
mixed up.
No, it was.
The guy from Damn United and.
Yes. Wait for it. He's in Masters of Sex. I cannot remember.
Oh,
his name.
Yeah. Anyway.
And that show was badass, by the way.
I like it. Yes, I'm liking it.
Okay, I don't remember his name. Oh my God, I'm going to kill myself. but I really can't remember.
So it would be that's one of the reasons why a film on Diana Spencer that would kind of bookend that movie I would find fascinating.
Yeah.
You know?
No. We'll move away from the name, it'll come to us when we're not thinking about it.
Yeah, I can look it up, but no, maybe we'll just let it stew.
We'll let it stew for a bit. Moving on to November the 15th. I am so excited for this movie.
Scorsese.
Oh my God. I know, it's right? Scorsese. DiCaprio stars in an 80s-based Wall Street. Who knows what the fuck is going on? There is dancing. There is Wall Street trading.
The insanity of the time. Yeah,
pretty much. It looks awesome.
We have way more money than we rightfully should have and don't know what to do with it.
Yep, pretty much.
I normally hate Wall Street films. I just cannot get into that world at all. But, you know, watching the trailer for this, I kind of want to see it.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Partially for just McConaughey, like that one lunch he's having and he's like beating his chest and like Caprio's going, just go with it. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I know, right?
The insanity coming out of McConaughey. I'm like, yeah, I kind of want to see that.
Yeah, I'm happy to see that. I will miss him, but I'm happy to see Scorsese's moving away from the 70s and into the 80s. If we have like a string of these, I am going to be in heaven. And Casino is still my favorite of all of the Scorsese movies. I don't care what anybody says.
Oh,
they love Goodfellas.
Martin Scorsese, 30 years behind the times.
Oh, man, who the fuck cares? Exactly. And loving it. I would love to see like two or three set in the 80s because there was a lot of father there for him.
Oh, no kidding. And I thought like most people would mind it, right? But
I don't
maybe
know.
Not.
Well, I think Scorsese brings something different to the table, and that's certainly apparent here. There's like this wild streak that runs through his movies that aren't always as obvious because they're so violent, but they're pretty wild. Like there's just scenes that you're like, what the fuck is going on? But this, like the trailer, that whole dance sequence thing is just ridiculous. It's like, what is this doing in a Scorsese movie? I love every second of it. So I can't wait. That's the only thing I've seen from that movie is that trailer. That's it. And I am sold. Also opening on the 15th, The Best Man Holiday. No idea. I know Terrence Howard is in it.
I hate to say it this way, but there it seems like you get this. Oh, God. I can't say this without sounding like a complete dick, but it's like you're feel good black cast.
Yep. Yeah, there's always a couple of these a year.
Yeah.
And this is the one for the holiday, for this particular holiday for Thanksgiving. So it's about a group of friends that reunite after 15 years for Christmas vacation. Stuff happens.
I look at these films and I can't help but think they're borrowing from the 60s almost. Like there's a stylistic trend that you don't find in the equivalent
interesting
films with predominantly white casts. And it just, they have a really different feel. And actually, a couple of them that I've really liked, mm-hmm. but they tend to really roll into saccharine. Like, just, they're just kind of too sugary sweet for my taste. And I kind of wonder, like, who the target audience is. Like,
That's a really interesting observation on that as well, actually. Because when you think about it, yeah, most of them are these sort of romantic stories that, I say most, but I mean, there are exceptions, obviously, to every rule. But yeah, there seems to be this sort of sweetness around all of them, which is kind of nice to have that sort of innocence.
I mean, and that's one of the things I find appealing about them, mm-hmm. but they tend to take it too far for me.
Yeah.
A little. Like, I'm attracted, because like the, there's been a couple British movies, like Love Actually.
Yeah.
That struck the right tone. And this has a lot of, to me, it felt like a, very similar to Love Actually.
Yeah.
In that, you know, big ensemble cast and happy stories and intertwined and all of that. And yeah, I tend to like them, but for this particular, I don't know, I want to call it a genre, but they just seem to go too far.
Yeah, a little too sugary sweet.
Yeah, you know me and sentiment. Generally speaking,
we don't go. Yeah, we don't play well together.
No, I. It's the kind of film that just sickens me and makes me hate the holidays. Bring back more films like The Ref.
Yeah, The Ref's awesome.
That's the holidays. Sitting at the table and arguing pointless things over things that no one gives a rat's ass about until someone gets angry, leaves the table and slams a door and like ignores you for a half hour. That's Christmas.
That's hilarious. Also opening on the 15th, probably the first of the Oscar bait movies, Brian Percival's adaptation of The Book Thief. I always, for whatever reason, I keep getting this mixed up with something else that has a similar title. But this is a World War II set novel about a young girl who steals books, shares them with others. My understanding is that in the actual book, the devil plays a role.
Oh.
I've never read it, so
I haven't read the book either.
I'm not really sure, but it certainly looks like your Oscar bait movie. I really have almost like no interest in seeing this.
See, whereas my interest is like right over the top for this, because I love me World War II films that aren't about the actual fighting. Yeah. I love all that back sort of hiding. Yeah. Sneaking around trying to like live your lives without basically running afoul of the Nazis. I love that. I for whatever reason, that just tweaks whatever in my brain.
Yep.
So this film like totally rocks for me.
Yeah, I can't get up the energy to want to see it. I don't know what it is. I will see it, but mm-hmm. there's just zero energy level.
Might actually make me go to a theater instead of just like torrenting or waiting till it comes on Netflix.
That's impressive.
I know. I've so given up on theaters.
Can't say I blame you. November 22nd brings us The Hunger Games number 2.
Never saw the first.
Everyone Returns.
2A, right?
No, 2. Really? And then it'll be 3A and 3B.
Oh, okay. When I was looking at the...
Are they trying to milk it much like the Harry Potter? Instead of doing this in its traditional four, let's make 7 films and a TV series?
Not quite. This is more like Twilight, where they've taken... sort of, because there's less books. But they've taken 3 books and made 4 movies, or planning on making 4 movies. So this time around, Katniss and Peeta are back. So is everybody else, really. And the idea here is that the new, this year's version of The Hunger Games will reap its players from all of the previous winners.
An all-star episode.
Pretty much. It's an all-star episode of survival to the death.
Basically a way of trying to kill Katniss.
Pretty much.
Because she
has inspired the people and doesn't want to play nice with the government. Really, that's what it's about. I don't know. It looks as good as the first one, I guess.
I'm in.
I'll see it. Kids killing kids. Well, in this case, not so much. More like kids killing adults. Because you know the kids are the ones that are going to live.
Yeah.
The old people don't stand a chance. Come on.
It's not true. Treachery.
Well, there is a little bit of that. I don't know. I didn't care much for the last two books as I did for the first one. And the first movie was good, but I mean, I haven't seen it since I saw it theatrically. I have zero interest in seeing it again, though I love J-Law.
Everybody that I've talked to that's read the books has all said, like, the first one is the best.
Yep. Pretty much. But, I mean, the story is still interesting.
Yeah.
Going on here.
So. I haven't rewatched the first film either, but I really enjoyed it. So I'm up for the next one.
I doubt I'll watch this. Since I didn't watch the first, I really doubt.
Yeah,
I'll
you have, like, zero interest. Yeah. It's all about J-Law. That's all that matters.
I'll watch Battle Royale again.
There you go. Way better choice. The director's cut, right? With the extended basketball scene and all that needless shit.
What's his face at the end? Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome.
Oh, who is it? Bill hated.
Yes, he hates the director's cut. It's all this useless stuff. Just give us more violence. I can sort of agree with that.
Either way works for me.
Yeah, pretty much. Also opening on the 22nd. A really feel-good movie.
Oh, no kidding, yeah.
Delivery Man, Ken Scott remakes his own movie, which he wrote and directed a couple of years ago called... what was it called? I can't remember now. Ah, fuck me. I really can't remember. Oh, Starbuck. That's what it was called.
You know, I was thinking... See, because Starbuck only came out last year.
Yep. Last year or the year before?
Or was it the year before?
It was 2 years ago.
So he finished filming it and he decided to refilm it.
Well, Hollywood came knocking because nobody... And that was one of the comments that we made after seeing it. It's this really well-made, really sweet story that's also really funny. Mind you, the lead kind of, you know, he's just amazing. But we were kind of like, why has Hollywood not done this before? Because it feels like it should be a Hollywood movie. Just like the story, you would think somebody would have made this somewhere along the line. A guy that's donated a lot of sperm, the sperm bank makes a mistake, they use his sperm a lot, and he has a lot of kids. And when it's discovered that the sperm bank made a mistake, the kids want to find out who their father is. And then it goes from there. So, I mean, it's super cheesy, but it's the kind of thing that bad Hollywood comedies are made of.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of Vince Vaughn. Most Neither of the stuff he makes is just horrible, other than Dodgeball, which was freaking awesome.
He to me is a lot like Tom Arnold. Like, there's been a couple roles where he just worked really well. Yeah. But in general.
True Lies.
This one I kind of like. I liked his interaction with people in it.
It's a really good story. And if Ken Scott can bring the charm that he brought to the original to the remake, I think it'll work really well. And the thing is, Starbuck works really, really well. I mean, it's just, you cannot help but like this movie because it's so well done. And I'm expecting that maybe this will be the same. I mean, I'm interested in seeing it. I probably won't see it theatrically, but I will see it at some point because... I want to see if you can pull it off more than anything.
Starbuck was on my list. I think actually after you reviewed it.
I have a DVD copy if you want to borrow it.
It sounds cool.
Yeah, it's good. It's totally worth searching out. Even if you watch the remake, it's worth watching the original. Also opening on the 22nd, Nebraska. This is Alexander Payne's new movie.
It looks batshit crazy in the old age home.
It's hilarious. I really did like this movie. I saw it at VIFF. It was the opening night film. Bruce Dern stars as this old, rancid sort of man who gets a letter that he won $1 million, except it's not really what the letter says. It's one of these magazine subscription
publishing
things.
Publishing clearinghouse.
Yeah. So he decides he's going to walk from Nebraska to, I think it's Missouri, is where you pick up the grand prize. And because he can't drive anymore, because he can't really see and he's kind of crazy, he decides he's going to walk. So one of his sons decides that as one last sort of thing for his dad, he's going to drive him there. He takes a couple of days off work and they go on this road trip to go and get this imaginary $1 million. Except along the way, they spend a night at his brother's place, like the father's brother's place. And he tells everybody he's won $1 million and it turns into this big thing in town. So it's like a crotchety old man trying to, I don't know, get a million bucks. But there's all this family drama that goes with it. And it's really good. Really, really good.
Some of the lines in it I thought were clever, like the wife kind of thing. Well, if I knew you wanted to be a millionaire, you should have started years ago and worked for it.
Yeah, and she is, her name is June Squibb, and she's amazing.
Oh, excellent.
She is like, for me, when that movie was over, it's like, who the hell is this woman, and why have I not seen her in anything else?
Excellent.
She is really good, and she has some, like, zingers.
Well, that's the thing. The way she delivered it and all that, and yeah. Slammed the door as she's going in, I'm like, I like this lady.
Oh, and she's really great. Like, there are scenes when, like, she goes to visit them to have, like, the family reunion, since they're in town for a couple of days, and she shows up, and she's taking them around town, showing them the old sites because that's where they met and got together, and she is hilarious. It's like she's talking about old loves and how she stole him from somebody else, and it's just so funny. But she's definitely the standout. But I mean, it's really good. Highly recommended. See, Frozen is opening this month. I thought it was opening in December for some reason. Excellent call. So November 29th brings us Frozen.
The day after Thanksgiving.
The day after.
We're into Christmas.
There you go. This is kind of like, it kind of reminds me of, is it Tangled was the other one, the last Disney one animated one I saw?
Tangled.
This kind of reminds me of this one for whatever reason.
Really?
I think it's the style of the drawing.
Oh, maybe stylistically. Yeah,
stylistically, I think the animation sort of remind, they kind of look similar to me. Disney has this style that sort of, it changes every like 10 years or something a little bit. So there were a bunch of movies in the 90s that all kind of looked the same, and now we're sort of into a bunch of movies that kind of look the same with exceptions. But I don't actually know what this is about. Hold on. Let's read this. Fearless optimist Anna teams up with Kristoff in an epic journey encountering Everest-like conditions and a hilarious snowman named Olaf in a race to find Anna's sister Elsa, whose icy powers have trapped the kingdom in eternal winter.
It's basically two sisters scrapping with each other.
Nice.
Well, I mean, it's not... That's where the story takes off from what I read from the trailer, which I thought was interesting. Like now we have basically, I mean, there's in the trailer, there is a male character and then there's a snowman. I guess you could almost say gender neutral. Maybe not. But the vibe I was getting was like, this is really about the two sisters and their relationship. And we haven't, I don't think we've seen that in a cartoon for a long time.
It's co-directed by Jennifer Lee, who also co-wrote Wreck-It Ralph. That's kind of badass. And I think it looks really sweet. I kind of like some of these Disney movies.
You know what? I
liked Tangled.
I'm
looking forward to this.
When I heard what the story was, I was not that sold. But after I've seen the trailer, I was like, yeah, I want to go see this one.
Yeah, and another selling feature that I think is worth mentioning because it's really badass, but Disney's Mickey Mouse's Get a Horse is playing with Frozen. It's their new short film that they have every year. They do one of these around Christmas when they release their animated fair, and Get a Horse is really great. Like, really, really, really great. So, and worth seeing on the big, big screen.
I miss cartoons in between films or before them.
Yeah,
when I was a little kid.
There used to be. Stuff. Yeah.
Also, putting on the 29th, is Colleen going to have a conniption?
I couldn't even see the trailer. So, like, other than the title, there's nothing I can say about this.
Yeah, same here. I didn't find a trailer.
Old Boy remake. Seriously? Do we need to pause the show and do a trailer catch up? Because you guys should really watch the trailer. I'm being totally serious.
No. Just go for it.
Spike Lee remakes the greatest batshit crazy insane movie ever, Old Boy, with Josh Brolin playing the batshit insane crazy man.
Josh Brolin.
Yeah. Right.
Never seen him do that before.
Yeah, never. So for those that don't know about Old Boy, I don't know what rock you've been living under for the last, I think it must be going on 15 years now.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure when the original was made, but a guy gets, for apparently no reason, captured, put in a room for like 15 or 20 years.
Long time.
He gets TV and food and that's it. And then they, for apparently no reason, let him out.
Oh, I have seen this. I saw this. I saw a theatrical trailer for this.
Oh, there. See?
I'd forgotten it was Old Boy. But yeah.
That, there you go.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
Okay. Samuel L. Jackson is also in this. A bunch of other people. Elizabeth Olsen.
It was weird, weird trailer. I think that's why I didn't.
Didn't sort of clue in.
Yeah.
I don't know. It looks like they pretty much lifted the entire Hammer killing spree scene, which is the greatest thing of all time. True. Seriously. It looks like the whole thing has been lifted. I really don't know what Spike Lee can bring to this that wasn't in the original, but
English.
Pretty much.
That's what he can bring to it. English.
That's pretty much it, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I really, on the one hand, I'm really excited because I never got to see Old Boy on the big screen. So this is kind of like, wow, I get to see this violence with other people. This is awesome. And then on the other hand, I'm like, but you're remaking Old Boy. Why would you do that?
I'd probably see it if it opens up here. I don't know if it will because...
Yeah, I don't... I was under the impression that this was going to be a fairly opening-wide kind of release, but I don't know if it is or not.
You know what? Spike Lee does not have the cachet he did 20 years ago.
I don't think he ever really had that cachet, to be completely honest.
He didn't have a lot of cachet. Like, it's not like he was like a Hollywood guy, but at least at that time, he was producing stuff that...
Yeah.
Like Malcolm X and things like that. Like, people knew him. Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, Spike Lee. I forgot about that. Yeah,
he's
dude.
Still making movies.
Yeah. Oh, good for him to still keep his toe in the industry, I guess.
yeah, I'm just not sure. I'm very divided on Old Boy. Dale, would you be interested in going to witness epic violence on screen?
Yeah, I would go if I was invited.
Awesome. It's a date.
I would go.
We should do we should go to Coquitlam to see it.
Sure.
If it opens. Because we haven't seen the movie together in a long time.
No, it's true.
I haven't seen a movie in a long time in the theater.
Okay, it's going to be a date. Stay tuned. Also opening on the 29th, Black Nativity. Casey Lemons makes a return to drama, which is kind of weird.
Is this a drama or a musical? I kept on getting confused during it.
I'm not sure. I thought it was a drama.
There was lots of singing going on throughout it, that trailer.
It's a drama.
I thought it was a drama.
In spite of the singing. Yeah, that was one of the things about, I think it was Frozen 2. It's like, oh, there's singing in it. Okay.
They're going back to the old Little Mermaid
kind of, maybe.
Yes.
That was not a plus for me.
Okay, can I, I'm totally going to digress for a moment. Sorry. It's our podcast. Come on now. They re-released The Little Mermaid in theatrically for their Diamond Edition release that they just put out. And they were encouraging kids to take their iPads to the screening.
Saw that, yeah.
To interact with the movie live on the big screen.
Yeah.
It's like, are you fucking kidding me, Disney? It's not bad enough we have to deal with, you know, people in their teens doing this.
But it's a whole new world. You're just old, Marina. You just haven't raised with the time.
Fuck that shit.
Like,
it's now all about interaction.
I wanted to see Little Mermaid on the big screen. Not if I have to contend with kids and their fucking iPads.
If I wanted interaction with a film, I'd see Rocky Horror or The Room with a group of people.
There you go.
Possibly sing along Buffy.
I wish there had been like one screening that was like non-iPad friendly, because I would have gone to see The Little Mermaid.
First theater that institutes a policy like that in the Lower Mainland probably will see a lot of me, because that's one of my big things why I haven't been going. Everyone's checking their phones.
Yeah.
You know, it's gotten a little bit better the few screenings I've been to, but yeah.
Maybe it's just Tri-Cities, people being idiots.
You know, I've heard that it's regional, and to some extent it's also demographic. Like there's some movies that attract crowds that are far less
and talking.
Quiet
oh
than
my
others.
God, so much talking during the film.
You know, what surprises me actually in North Van, you know, like you think talking and you always think it's like the younger crowd, but no.
It's the people.
Goddamn seniors. Like yeah, I've been to more movies.
I've had to correct my mom numerous times.
Yeah.
What's going on? After.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's certainly a problem. That's why I don't go to the Fifth Avenue. I hate to admit it, but it's the truth. There's a lot of older people that attend that theater, and they talk a lot. And they don't talk a lot quietly.
Yeah.
They just talk a lot. Oh, did you see what just happened? It's like, okay, can you shut up?
This is not your living room.
Yeah, apparently. You
and
know,
they don't
they didn't
take
miss
it
that.
Well if you ask no. them to please no, cease don't. And desist.
They don't. Sorry.
Black Nativity. Yes, it is dramatic. It's a drama.
Back to Black Nativity. About a teen.
And they're singing.
Yeah, about a teen who's raised by his mother, New York City, Christmas holiday. Strange route lives. Stuff happens. I don't really know. Not my cup of tea. Really. Yeah. So
no. No interest for me.
It was mildly interesting to me as a drama, like with some interesting actors. But the singing was like no.
No.
Musicals are not my thing.
Kind of a put off. I'm with you there. Also opening on the 29th, Mandela: Long Walk to Freedom. Really, I think the title says it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Idris Elba stars as Mandela.
You know what? I'm glad they actually, in the trailer, they actually showed him being essentially a terrorist, because mm-hmm. that's what he was for a portion of his career. He blew shit up and didn't care if people basically died. And that's glossed over a lot in his history, so I'm glad they at least were showing that. But it looks awesome. Like,
I mean, it's Idris Elba. He's kind of badass.
Yeah, yeah, it looks good.
He may have been reasoned to be a terrorist, and he may have done a lot of good, but you know what? The mythological sort of Mandela. Yeah, no, you have to accept the fact he did violence.
This is why labels are so awkward sometimes. It's like there's a perspective and there's part of the conversation that gets shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's, you know, good on them for not whitewashing the whole thing afterwards, because even that, it's always the joke, and you, that off quote, it's like the victors write the history.
Yeah.
So yeah, it wasn't violence, it was our righteous fight. Well, or terrorism was a righteous fight, but you know, the other side, the power.
Yeah.
So you know, maybe what you're calling terrorism.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's where labels can totally shut down.
Yeah.
Excellent point. Also opening, I should say, opening on the 27th, it's like a Wednesday, I think, which is really weird, but who cares? It's Homefront. This, I think, is kind of amusing. So it stars James Franco, Jason Statham.
Jason Statham.
Okay. Based on a novel by Chuck Logan, screenplay by Sylvester Stallone.
I saw that and I giggled.
Me too,
I giggled like a little boy.
Me too. So Statham plays an ex-DEA agent. Something happens to his daughter. James Franco is like this bad guy that starts to terrorize him. Who the fuck cares? It's Jason Statham and James Franco going toe-to-toe. I wonder who's going to win this fight. Please. It's going to be awesome.
You know, I love Statham. So often, though, the roles he takes are like, he's the action guy.
Of course.
And the film roles he gets really are crap. they're made awesome by Jason Statham, by his very existence. But this actually looked like not just crap. He actually got like a decent role that included the fact that he's the action man.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I tend to not make fun of, but I tend to, when I think of Sylvester Stallone, I always think of, you know, his action movies.
Cliffhanger.
But I mean, the truth of the matter is the guy has written some really great screenplays in his career. He's not just to be written off lightly.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of excited for Homefront. I want to see what he's, because I've never read the book. I have like zero interest in the book, but
no.
I'm really curious to see how this plays out. I'm game. And really, it's Statham. I will see it Statham. Anyways.
Yep.
I'm not sure I'll see it in the theater, but if it came to Netflix, I'd be right there day one for watching it.
I like me a good righteous action flick.
You and me both. Yeah. You and me both. That's sort of it for the month, but there's a couple of interesting things to talk about coming to town. The Cinematheque is going to be screening a new wave of African cinema series running for the first 2 weeks of November. Titles include Grey Matter, which I'm actually really interested in seeing. Restless City, Microphone, and they have two blocks of shorts, including one block of quote-unquote genre thrillers, genre titles. And I put genre in, like, block quotes because apparently African take on genre movies is really interesting.
Okay.
Go figure. Yes, there are zombies.
All right.
And I think that there might be a vampire short in there as well. Okay. I'm thinking I might catch at least that genre block of films if I don't get anything else.
Sounds vaguely interesting.
Yeah, I'm really curious to check that out. The Cinematheque is also hosting a Todd Haynes retrospective, 15th to the 17th. And Haynes is actually in town to do a Q&A on the 15th. And then they're going to screen I'm Not There. And it sounds like the Q&A takes place before the movie. So if you're not interested in seeing the movie again, you can certainly do that. It's $25. Tickets still available on the website. I'm really, really excited to check that out, actually. And they're also screening Terms and Conditions May Apply, which is the documentary on terms and conditions and how things are handled online. It's a fairly good documentary. Highly recommend it to you if you're into, you know, public security and all that sort of stuff. Nothing really more to say about that. Moving on. The Van City brings all the goodness. Oh, Dale, you said it looked like you were about to say something.
No, after.
After. Oh, after. Okay. Van City. Wolf Children. This is actually a carryover from VIF. Don't really know what to say about it. It looks like really greatly done. And actually, they're playing it with Grave of the Fireflies. So they're kind of doing an animated block of movies, which is kind of timely, I guess.
Oh, Wolf Children isn't animated?
It's animated, okay. Yeah. And I think it's from the same group, what's the studio? It's Studio Ghibli, I think.
Yeah.
I believe it's the same group of folks that are putting that out. They're also screening Sample This, which is Dan Forer's documentary about the most sampled music bit in history, which actually has a really great Vancouver connection because the album that sampling song comes from was recorded at Mushroom Studios.
Oh.
So there's when I started watching it, it's narrated by...
So not Queen's Under Pressure?
No.
Oh, right.
No. It's the Electric something Boogaloo or Bungalow or something like that.
Boogaloo.
Yeah. It's just like this music break that's like 30 seconds long. But yeah, the album was recorded at Mushroom Studios, which is still around. The documentary is narrated by, Gene Simmons. And the screening that they're doing at the Van City on the 18th, it's a one night only thing. And director Dan Forer will be in town to do a Q&A as well and do an intro.
Cool.
So it's pretty good if you're interested in music docs. Also, they're screening Short Term 12 from the 22nd to the 28th. It's supposed to be a really great Oscar contender, sort of under the radar, more Spirit Awards kind of thing, about a woman that works at a halfway house or something, or maybe it's an addiction clinic. I'm not 100% sure, but it's supposed to be quite good. Claire Denis' Bastards, which is her new film, also screening at the Van City. And, two more. Broken Circle Breakdown, which I saw at VIF. I can't recommend it because I didn't like it. But I know a lot of people really did, including Kurt, who has like some great hard-on love for this movie. Just did not work for me whatsoever. But the music in this movie is awesome if you're into bluegrass. And After Tiller, which is the excellent documentary on late-term abortion.
Okay.
Which has been making the rounds for the last couple of months. I didn't think we'd get a chance to see it, but there you go. And we will finish off.
Is that a Russian film?
No, it's a documentary about, I think the doctor, it was, his last name was Tiller. Oh. He was one of, there are very few doctors in the U.S. that do late-term abortions, yeah. Apparently. And he was killed by some activists.
Yeah.
And the documentary sort of, I guess, talks about the activism and also the fact that there are certain cases where this sort of abortion is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in America's political structure, it's not really acceptable,
yeah,
in many cases. So the trailer looks really interesting and it's a subject that I'm fascinated with. So I'm really curious to check that out. I just didn't think we'd get a chance to see it here.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll finish with the screening that surprised the hell out of me.
Well, actually, there's two, but yes, go with
that. Oh, there's two? The first, Space Battleship Yamato.
Yep.
Playing on Remembrance Day, November 11th.
In Vancouver, at least, yeah.
Yeah, in Vancouver.
I'm not sure if that's all. The Cineplex website is like kind of awkward that way,
yes. But
it's definitely playing in Vancouver on November 11th, and it looks like it might be playing Canada-wide.
Which could
be on November 11th.
Because they do, and that's the thing. I wish they had a better way to track their special screenings.
Yeah.
Because they do like Monday matinees, they do like kids' nights, they do like all these special run screenings that I never find out about until I actually like go to the theater because they've got posters everywhere. Yeah. But they're just not on their website. So I don't know where to find them.
For people that aren't quite sure what this is, it's. Mm-hmm. Most people growing up in a certain age watched a certain animated series called Star Blazers,
mm-hmm.
which actually had some incredibly interesting adult themes running it, even though it was aimed at kids. And it was one of these Japanese cheaply animated anime things that they voiced over in English. Mm. And it actually didn't suffer some of the butchery that some of the other ones did. So it's a remake of the whole... epic saga of being at Earth being attacked and needed to go to Iskandar to get the secret to save the Earth. There's a bunch of details that have changed. I think it's mostly true to the original thing. It is long though. It's like 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Oh yeah. Is it animated or is it live action?
No, it's live action. It's live action. And I enjoyed it, but it is kind of very serious about itself.
Oh, okay.
So, but I would say, like, if you're into that, you definitely want to give it a look. If not at the theater, then try elsewhere. And find it other places. Yeah. But a lot of fun. The other one, which is another genre fan thing, is the Doctor Who 50th anniversary special.
Oh, playing yeah. I totally know.
Yeah, and it's actually, I know there's a big simulcast happening.
Okay.
That one is actually sold out, so my friends tell me. But okay. Yes, Doctor Who fans, you can watch it on the big screen in 3D.
Okay, what?
Yeah.
3D?
I'm not so much in... Yeah, it's right here.
Wow.
3D. Really 3D.
They're not planning to put the actual series in general.
No, this
is
just the 50th anniversary special.
Okay. Oh, and can we just note that Cineplex actually has Toronto After Dark listed on their website? That is fucking badass. Way to go, Dad guys. Cool. That's awesome. Now, if it was only easier to find on their website.
No kidding.
It's
yeah.
like buried under a bunch of other shit.
I saw someone tweet about it and I'm like, what? And like trying to find it and then trying to see if it like really was just one day or not. It's like, it's insane.
Yeah, because they do have, I know that they also do fans voted for like fan movies. And like they showed Serenity two nights in, I think it was October. They show this type of stuff all the time. It's just, it's... God, no, I can't find it anywhere. I don't know where they store this information.
And you're driven to look for it, too.
Well, and I usually go looking for it. And I follow Cineplex pretty closely on Twitter. They're pretty active.
But. Yeah, it's one thing when a film is going to be out for, you know, at least a week, if mm-hmm. not two or three. Then you can usually pick it up on general release. But when they're doing a one-night-only special event...
It's kind of like, how come I didn't know about this?
You kind of need to know in advance.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. So, come on, Cineplex. Get on it, man.
Also... You know, another company that's not using social media effectively, apparently.
Yeah, to some extent they are. But yeah, as far as like divulging it, like sharing information, no, they're failing miserably. Really, they are. they're not alone in that, but they are.
I'm going to, you know, good on them. Because like you say, they're actually starting to break out of just the... weekly release kinds of things.
Well, and that's the thing. I don't think they really have much of a choice in markets outside of Toronto because they are the only game, unfortunately. Like in Vancouver, there are very few rep theaters.
No,
We're not Toronto where there's like six of them.
Leave Vancouver, you're kind of fucked.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. You leave the central, like Vancouver core, or you go anywhere, you know, I guess south of Broadway, and you're fucked.
Yeah.
you've got like nothing left. It's just Cineplex and the occasional Empire Theater here and there, but they too are just showing your main release stuff. So
49 screens within about 10 minutes of my house.
And they're all showing the same thing.
And they're showing 14 films and it's all Cineplex.
Yeah.
Other than the one Hollywood 3, which isn't reliable in either.
Yeah. I have noticed that they're, and it's weird, I don't know how they do their demographic research, but every once in a while they release, I've noticed that they've started releasing like Thai titles and Philippine titles, sometimes without subtitles.
Yeah.
And it's always interesting to see where those open up.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like.
I've seen that too. Yeah. I'm going through, you know, now playing in Vancouver and it's like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Indian or the Filipino.
Yeah, they seem to be very popular at the moment, which is great. I love that that option is there. It's just a lot of people don't know about it. Like I have a Filipino lady that works with me. She loves these things. She loves going to the movies. And she's like, I didn't know about it. Like, okay, you're obviously...
You're the target audience. Yeah,
you're, Cineplex has done some research, but they haven't gone far enough. Because your target audience doesn't know that this is happening. That's a problem. So maybe we should write them a letter. I'll volunteer. Yeah, really. You pay me, I will volunteer to spread the word. Sounds good. Good.
Volunteer
good.
The services.
Volunteer social media person.
Liaison.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm really a good social media person, but I will spread the word if you pay me.
Well, you win tickets.
That's true.
Yeah, you tweet.
That might work.
You tweet like a mofo, which is more than I can say they're doing.
Yeah, I don't tweet nearly as much as most of the other
people. I tweet about once every 6 months.
I think I'm pretty prolific, right? I mean, I tweet quite a bit. But it's like I looked at my number count the other day and I'm like 35 or 36,000 tweets. And I look at some other people that I know that have started their accounts at, like years after me. They've got like 60,000 tweets. I'm like, what the fuck are you tweeting about?
I'd be unfollowing them.
Yeah, there's a certain point where signal over...
Signal to noise.
Signal to noise is just so freaking great. Delete.
Yeah.
I've done that a lot lately on Facebook. There's some people who post 47 things in a row and are all about One Direction.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
In Bama's excuse, she's 13 years old and a girl. So
okay, I was going to say, who the fuck is in your circle that's a One Direction fan?
Oh my God.
That is creepy, but that makes sense.
It's like Bama. Oh my God, I love you. Whatever the hell your name is.
Okay, you know One Direction, which is more than I can say for most people.
I can't help it. It's there.
I only know about them because of that movie a couple months ago.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. I did know about them before then, unfortunately. But that's kind of it for November. We will be back. I'm not 100% sure when, but we'll be doing a Whistler preview, hopefully, before Whistler actually starts.
Does the schedule come out, though?
November the 4th.
November the 4th. Which reminds me, I have to buy my ticket tonight before it goes up.
Yeah, so...
Are they...
The passes, the early bird pricing on the passes expires soon.
Actually, early bird is over. This early is the bird, second bird expires, I think, on the 31st, and then it's just regular price.
Okay, I better do that too.
Yeah. So...
save $50.
Unlike last year.
See,
last year worked out okay buying individual tickets.
Yeah.
I don't think there's many that sell out as such, as long as you get to the box office in time.
There was only one movie that I wanted to go to that I missed out on.
And we have a pool this year, so keep that in consideration.
Yeah. I'll be using that as soon as it's open, probably every day.
The pool and the hot tub.
And a steam room. Yeah, steam room.
Yeah, we're totally well stocked. It's funny how the vacation doesn't really feel real until you book the hotel. Then it's like, oh my God, this is happening. So yes, Whistler is happening.
And the building's red.
Which is kind of awesome.
I love red
but,
buildings.
But we will be, obviously we'll be podcasting from Whistler at some point. And we'll hopefully have some time to do a preview show before we actually go up. And we'll link to the Whistler Film Festival website if you have not checked it out yet and you're kind of curious. I think it's safe to say, take it from us. It's totally worth going.
It's, yeah, if you can at all get like accommodation somewhere there, it's awesome.
And you know what? for Whistler and that first week.
Sharesies makes it affordable.
Mm-hmm.
The pricing hasn't gone insane yet.
Yeah.
Another week and it does.
Yeah. Yeah. We're sort of before
it's shoulder season.
Yeah. That's exactly what they're
I love it. Whistler at that time because it is not crowded. Like,
yeah. Oh, it's great. You know, I mean, it really, it's a nice little mini vacation and everything's nice and central and you can just walk around everywhere. It doesn't take too long.
Don't wait to get even into anything pretty much.
Pretty yeah. much. I mean, the only downside is really, if you're not careful, you can wind up in some pretty pricey restaurants.
Yes.
But other than that, there's other options there.
And the Whistler Conference Center still sucks.
Oh, that's, yeah. God.
And there's always the that's furniture probably warehouse.
The downside.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. There's always
everything on menu as, $4.99.
As long as there isn't a wedding going on.
Yeah, right. A private party.
Oh, man. Okay. All the stories.
Yes.
So, yes, we will be coming back with some Whistler material in the coming weeks. So stay tuned to row3.com for all of your movie news and other podcasts and stuff. The Mammal guys have been having a really great run of shows lately. There's been some great stuff on horror movies and box office, and there was some interesting actually conversation last week on Gravity and the use of zero G, and that how that sort of how the movie has sort of made a divide of movies pre-zero G pre-gravity and zero G post-gravity, which I think it will make for some really interesting discussion in the future. And the Movie Club podcast has gone live. The October edition is actually perfect for Halloween timing because they've got The Devils and Possession, two sort of batshit crazy. They're not really, I don't know if they'd be really classified as horror movies, but they're like 70s horror movies. So they kind of are horror movies, but they're more scary because they're just like so fucking weird. Yeah, they're both really interesting. So you can listen to the conversation there. The podcast is also on Row 3. And now I've talked on for long enough. Wrap things up. Well, okay, I don't remember how we end the show because I'm ending it by myself. Until next time.
We'll see you after the credits.
Some saw the sun, some saw the smoke, some heard the gun, some bent the bow, sometimes some fire.